The views and opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of WEFT-FM, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the Weft Associates. And now here is this week's edition of IMC Radio News.
Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
This week on IMC Radio News, Andine Gross talks to two of the founding members of our IMC about the history, approach, and future of the center, and a segment of Cynthia McKinney's speech to the third annual Campus Greens Convention in Austin. But first, these two headlines, courtesy of the global indie media website, www.indiemedia.org. This past week, Washington, D.C. saw a pandemic of violence directed against the transgender community, resulting in two deaths and one critical hospitalization. The violence began shortly after a fragile community marked the one-year anniversary of the homicide in Southeast D.C. of Ukiah Davis and Stephanie Thomas, two transgender women. Saturday the 16th, Bea Evangelista, a 25-year-old Latina, was found murdered in the Columbia Heights neighborhood. This tragedy was followed on October 21st with one trans woman dead and another in critical condition. You can learn more about how that community is responding to this violence by visiting the Indie Media website and listening to Voices with Vision, a 30-minute audio program focusing on this situation. Last Wednesday, the Argentinian Senate nullified the due obedience and full stop laws, which guaranteed impunity for the murderers of more than 30,000 opponents of Argentina's former bloodthirsty military dictatorship. Most of the victims were students, blue-collar workers, and social activists. When the decision was announced, the people took to the Plaza de Mayo, the civic center of the nation, to celebrate and pay homage to the mothers of Plaza de Mayo, a group of women who have been struggling for a quarter of a century to recover the bodies of their sons and bring the murderers to justice. Many of these women suffered the same fate as their sons, being tortured and disappeared in the hands of the military henchmen who learned techniques of torture in the infamous School of the Americas.
Fierce and ingenious, a poetic specter so far gone that every jackass newscaster was struck dumb and stumbling over, oh my God, and this is unbelievable, and on and on. And I'll tell you what, while we're at it, you can keep the Pentagon, you can keep the propaganda, you can keep each and every TV that's been trying to convince me to participate in some prep school punk's plan to perpetuate retribution. Perpetuate retribution. Even as the blue toxic smoke of our lesson in retribution is still hanging in the air, and there's ash on our shoes. And there's ash in our hair. And there's a fine silt on every mantle from Hell's Kitchen to Brooklyn. And the streets are full of stories, sudden twists and near misses. And soon every open bar is crammed to the rafters with tales of narrowly averted disasters. And the whiskey is flowing like never before. As all over the country, folks just shake their heads and pour.
In another installment of the Good to Know series, Andine Gross talks to two volunteers from our IMC about the past, present, and future for the center that makes this radio show possible.
Good to Know, a series of conversations with diverse members of the Champaign-Urbana community who work to build community. We're going to be talking today about how a few people sharing ideas in somebody's living room created what now exists as the Independent Media Center in Urbana, Illinois. An independent media center that prints a regular newspaper, produces a weekly news radio show, hosts an interactive website, sponsors a video production group, and maintains a library, art gallery, performance space and community center. Sasha Meinrath and Zach Miller were in that living room. Welcome, Sasha and Zach.
Hi.
Hello.
First of all, let's talk about the inspiration. Why did you want to create an independent media center? Sasha, why don't you take a stab at this?
Sure. Well, I first got involved with indie media, I guess sort of helping to send folks from the local community to Seattle in 1999 for November protests against the World Trade Organization. And the people that went brought back this idea, which was people from all over the world came together and shared equipment and expertise and materials and covered this protest from the point of view of the people on the streets, and successfully were able to get over, it turns out, about 1.5 million people to go to this website that had all this information in first-hand accounts. And they brought this back as a powerful tool for community organizing and for community empowerment. And my personal background is in community psychology, and I very much, you know, resonated with this idea of using this tool within the local community to sort of affect change and affect community empowerment.
Zach, anything to add?
Yeah, whereas Sasha came into this as a person who helped send people to Seattle, I came into this as somebody who Seattle kind of took by surprise. You know, Seattle happened, and I saw it on indie media. I wouldn't have seen it anywhere else. I was surfing the web, and I ran across this amazing website where people on the street with digital cameras were taking pictures of the police attacking them, and environmentalists standing arm in arm with Teamsters, who you'd never see on the news that happening. They're supposed to be mortal enemies, right? So I was really inspired by Seattle and by the reporting that happened there. And when about a year later, I heard that folks here in town were planning on putting together an independent media center, I was very excited about it. The idea that there would be this media center to give people the tools they need to produce the media that they want to report on right here in our town was very inspiring, and I had to get involved immediately, and I started going to the meetings, and I've been here ever since.
And that's been about 3 years, right? When did this independent media center begin?
September 26th of 2000 was the first event that we covered. It was the IMF World Bank protests in Prague. Our independent media center covered the local actions that were done in solidarity with those actions in Prague.
So basically, what happened as a result of this Seattle activity was both of you became aware of the need for reporting to occur that wasn't filtered through the main media. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. I mean, within town, we have a couple of resources. We have, you know, WEFT Community Radio. We have the paper, we have other things that are sort of independently owned, but most of the media is controlled by a very select few people with a very similar worldview. And you see this a lot of the times when we're covering the same event as somebody else, that there's very different perspectives within those tales, within those stories. And I think that's why it's so important. This diversity of opinion is really, I think, vital to democracy within our society.
One thing that I think is particularly important is it's not just a matter of alternative media versus mainstream media. It's a matter of what are the incentives for producing media that different organizations have. And what we call the mainstream media is typically profit-driven. They want to sell advertising. That's why they make the news, is as a medium for selling advertising. What nonprofit organizations like the Independent Media Center and WEFT do is they have community members donate to them so that it's a statement from the community that they want this news resource. And then the organization is no longer beholden to selling to advertisers and doing the kind of market-driven news reporting that brings in advertisers. We don't have to deal with any of that. We can report on whatever we want, and the only people that we're beholden to are the community that is funding us.
And you can examine issues with quite a bit of depth, can't you?
It's not unheard of at all within indie media for people to spend, you know, months and months investigating a certain issue. And while investigative reporting does happen in some of the better, you know, mainstream press, it is all too rare at many, many news outlets.
What have you been most proud of about this IMC? Are there any memorable moments or success stories that you care to share?
The thing that I love the most about our particular IMC as an organization of activists and as a media organization here in town is how unbelievably well we've worked together and how well we've really pulled together a huge amount of volunteer power and community support in such a short period of time. I had the privilege of coordinating the first open house that we had here at the IMC, And a lot of times when you coordinate a volunteer activity, the coordinator ends up taking on all the work. You know, all the people that don't volunteer for things, you have to do something. And it was amazing when I sat down with my to-do list of somebody has to do this and somebody has to do that, and somebody raised their hand for every single thing, and it just came together, and it was this amazing party. And we just worked together well. We have yet to have a big ideological fight mm-hmm. within the organization. So many organizations are torn apart by politics, you know. We're really, to some extent, an apolitical organization, and we have a lot of people who themselves are passionately political, but they're able to work together within the organization to further our common interest in alternative media.
And I'd simply add to that that one of the strengths of our IMC is very much that it is a very malleable organization. It evolves constantly and changes constantly to meet, you know, the different interest levels and areas of people who are involved. And our structure is very much set up to not just nourish that, but actually, you know, to really push for this idea of do what you want. We will create, you know, an umbrella organization which will allow you to, you know, continue whatever project you want to do within the media. We don't have a board who directs, you know, what it is that the IMC is going to do this year or what have you. It's really a grounds-up, grassroots-driven organizational structure.
I think when this IMC invites members of the community to do various things, whether it's make radio or participate in writing for the newspaper or to display art, it's a sincere invitation. It's right. You don't have to pass any kind of litmus test of, okay, how radical are you? How progressive are you? You're just welcome.
Right. And if you look at all of our major projects today, you know, whether it's the radio show or the art gallery or the shows and performance group, all of that is driven from a group of people who've come together and say, I want to do this project. And we just create the space and give as much, you know, resources as possible to make those things happen.
Well, people aren't born knowing how to create IMCs. How did you figure all this out? Or does the center
are
abide
figuring
by
it out? Definitely are figuring it out.
Does the center abide by certain governing principles?
Yes. So the entire global indie media network, of which there's well over 125 of them in 50 plus countries worldwide, all of them abide by what's called the principles of unity. And there's sort of a 10-point declaration of such things as we will have an open publishing system, which basically means that anyone can publish to our websites, anyone can comment on articles. We are an inclusive organization. We don't believe in discrimination. In fact, we are an anti-discrimination organization. We are a non-hierarchical organization. We're a democratic and transparent organization. These sorts of general principles that hold the whole network together. And here, I think, you know, what drives us is very much these same ideas of non-discrimination. It's like when people come in, they say what they want to do, and we try to figure out a way to make that happen. We definitely have had multiple discussions about everything from, you know, engendered spaces to, you know, how do we reach out to different constituencies in the community. That sort of debate and discussion and dialogue is one of our major strengths.
Something to keep in mind about the creation of independent media is that although the indie media movement is only 4 years old now, created in 1999 in November in Seattle, the idea of this kind of community center is as old as the progressive and radical movements in this country. This movement really grew out of lessons learned from info shops and from underground newspapers and, you know, all of the kind of underground radical media movements that have predated us, that were not called indie media, but did the same sorts of things. And we also draw a lot from the various communities that have done consensus-based decision-making. You know, our structure is based on consensus. The Quakers have been doing consensus for 200 years, you know, so not everything that we're doing is new. We're drawing on the wisdom of those who came before us in a lot of ways.
And I think we very much rely on the skills that many of the people within our community have brought to the space and brought to the organization. We have a tremendous age range, which is actually very rare in indie media, of people from, you know, we say from 7 to 70, but actually that's fairly true in terms of who's volunteering here. And within that is a tremendous amount of resources in terms of how to run things, how not to run things, what has worked within this community in the past. You know, having people that have been here for decades and decades and decades doing activism allows us to sidestep a lot of the pitfalls that other organizations in town have had. We haven't figured out, you know, the equation for the perfect organization, but it's dynamic enough that we can continually meet the needs of people involved.
Running an IMC does need tremendous personal, financial, and emotional commitment. What keeps you motivated and involved?
I think seeing the finished product is the biggest thing for me. Seeing our website that's constantly up to date, seeing the radio show that you folks put out every single week, you know, that it just keeps coming out and it's a half an hour long every week and it's got these amazing things that I didn't know about happening in the community. Seeing the video group putting on an hour or two of video every single week on Urbana Public Access Television, and seeing new people. I think that's the other big thing is this town is a very constantly changing town. There's always new people in this community, and seeing those new people come into our space and bring new ideas, it's always very inspiring to me, and I just can't imagine doing anything else with my time. I think it helps that this place ends up being a social space as much as an activist space.
Well, it is really a community center, and I remember people saying that when 9/11 happened, that they just thought IMC, and that this became a gathering space and really just a place to have fellowship with others.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the night of 9/11, there was over 100 people crammed into this space, and it was because people thought, you know, oh, the IMC is a place where I can go find people, get information, be around, you know, my community. I think also what really drives myself and a lot of other folks is just looking at, again, these sort of outcomes, the coalitions that have come out of this space, the community empowerment things, the impacts that we've had both locally but also, you know, at a regional, national, and international level. This IMC is very unique in that we sponsor a tremendous number of projects all over the world. And in doing so, I think we impact, like, real people, real events happening in many of the world's hotspots, and make possible, you know, entire organizations that otherwise would see, just not exist.
Can you give an example of something you did internationally?
Well, sure. In 2003, I think one of the big things we've done is set up an independent media center in Baghdad, which is obviously at that time very, very important. So, you know, having people from that locality setting up and producing independent news and putting out a weekly newspaper from the point of view of people living in that area, I think is incredibly important. And really, you know, impacted, especially because all of the media at the time was pretty much controlled by the U.S. military, impacted, you know, where people got their information.
How does this IMC survive financially?
Barely is the answer to that. Our finances, because we are all volunteer, are basically all going to the projects that we sponsor, to rent, to utilities, directly to, you know, our direct costs. We survive in almost entirely through donations from our membership and from the community. So we get close to 75% of all of our funds from that. We get a tiny amount from selling supplies. We get some grants occasionally here and there. We get fiscal sponsorship fees from other organizations that we help out and do logistics and taxes for, those sorts of things. But, you know, again, almost entirely it's from these, you know, small $25, $50 donations that we get from individuals all over the place.
What are the main misconceptions people have about the IMC? Zach?
I think the first question that so many people ask me, if I'm talking to someone who's older than me, they say, isn't that just a place with a bunch of young radicals? And if I talk to people who are older, younger than me, like high school kids or whatever, they'll say, oh, isn't that just a place with a bunch of old radicals? And, you know, really what we have here is a bunch of people, some who are radical, some are not, some are young, some are old, some are in the middle. I think that people don't really have a real appreciation for that until they visit the center and come to one of our meetings, especially. When you come to a meeting and you see, you know, a 13-year-old and a 50-year-old at the same meeting, talking on the same level, speaking as peers to each other, it's an incredible process to see. We constantly seek, our biggest desire is for our population to become more diverse, to have more people of all ages in the space, to have more people from every demographic in the space, you know, folks from various minorities or different sexual orientations or any underrepresented group or overrepresented group, whoever you are. If you want to come into the Independent Media Center and produce news, we would love to see you here.
Unfortunately, I have a quote here that was printed from the News Gazette. They do a publication where they sort of introduce people to the community. Mm-hmm. And in this publication, they said, and I am quoting the end of a sentence, quote, "The likes of the Independent Media Center and its ragtag, tie-dyed, flag-hating, haiku-spouting socialists."
I know a few of those people, I think.
Wow.
I think I know where each of those adjectives came from, but...
Yeah, I think that statement actually exemplifies this problem and reflects much more upon the News Gazette and their own prejudices and biases than on the IMC itself. And I think, you know, in hearing that, it's incredibly dismissive. It's a way of sort of, you know, they wouldn't write that if they weren't scared about the possibilities of something like the Independent Media Center. They wouldn't write this if they weren't threatened by the way in which we produce our media and our very existence in this community. And I think you will find that sort of a response from much of the dominant press, because the possibilities involved in having something like an Independent Media Center, of having a truly alternative and independent press, are scary to that business model of, you know, how you deliver what they call the news to local constituencies.
And what is your vision for this IMC in the future?
I mean, we have a couple of things that we're working on right now. One is installing a low-power FM radio station, and this is something that a group of us in town have been working on for several years now. It's been tied up at the federal level with the politics there. You know, we've watched what WEFT has done, and it's so incredible, and it's really been transformative. It's an organizing nexus for many people, and to be able to replicate that sort of thing and be, you know, a sister site, and the synergies involved in having like two community radio stations in town, I think would be phenomenal. We are talking in various times about, you know, expanding our space and vastly expanding our space and building some sort of a community center, a coalition center. We've also talked a lot about improving, you know, both our internal structure, documenting more of how we've, you know, existed, because it is something that from all over the world, people email us, write to us, phone us, and are visiting us to get information about how did you guys do this amazing thing? And so having that information, those resources available, and then also increasing our distribution of, you know, our news and what we create and produce here, I think is vitally important. We've just begun to, you know, syndicate far beyond, you know, our local community, a lot of things that were just happening here locally. And I think that's really important. That sort of interconnectedness of local and global is, I think, one of the great strengths of this whole indie media network.
I think one of the most important tools of grassroots media is the internet. But one of the problems with the internet is that not very many people have access to it. And I think one of my main goals in the Independent Media Center that I share with a lot of folks on the projects that I work on is to help reduce the kind of cost of entry to having access to the internet by having more publicly accessible internet terminals here in the center and around town, by deploying a wireless network around town that will allow people who are anywhere within range of the network to just get on the internet from their house without having to pay for an expensive DSL or cable modem or anything like that. Access to information, I think, is one of the more important things that we can do here. We can produce all the media we want, but Sasha really hit on it, that increasing our distribution is very important. We're producing a lot of great news, and we need to get it in the hands of more people.
And of course, you know, a very pragmatic step would be to, you know, increase the size of our endowment and bring in enough money so that we don't have to worry month to month anymore about, you know, will we be able to pay rent or what have you. So, you know, getting those donors who support this idea and think this is actually a good thing for our society and for democracy generally to actually support our efforts.
I have lived in this community 10 years and didn't really know much about the IMC. I took a class taught by Clint Popetz, who produces IMC Radio, and I have been given the opportunity to make radio shows. So I, for one, am very grateful, and every week on the radio show, Clint or whoever is emceeing invites anybody to make news. Mm-hmm. And that is an awesome invitation. And when he taught this class and he said, you do not have to be a professionally trained journalist, your voice is important, you are invited to express your ideas, that is a tremendous gift.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the idea that anyone listening to anything we've produced can go and be next week producing the thing that other people listen to is a very powerful model, an incredible model. It doesn't exist in any other media that I know of.
Zachary Miller and Sasha Meinrath, I really want to thank you for all of your efforts.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Zachary Miller and Sasha Meinrath are two of the many volunteers who have created the Independent Media Center in Urbana, Illinois. These are people of energy, vision, and commitment. They work to build community.
For IMC Radio News, this is Undine Gross.
We are the most connected generation ever, and the possibilities that exist because of that, and the coalition building that exists because of that are just, you know, who knows where we'll even be in 5 or 10 years. It's just, it's an open road ahead of us. And many of us, both here in town and locally and regionally and nationally and internationally, are all very excited for that and all working very hard to make that a reality. These huge global communication structures. And that's, to me, that's both fascinating and incredibly thrilling.
If you'd like to find out more about our IMC, you can come to IMC Fest this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. at the Canopy Club, 708 Goodwin in Urbana. There will be 16 bands, 2 movies, zine readings, workshops, and lots of IMCistas hanging out and enjoying themselves. Proceeds of the festival will go to benefit the IMC. Next, we'll hear a recording of former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney as she spoke to people gathered at the 3rd Annual Campus Greens Convention in Austin, Texas.
America can be better than this. And so we have no choice but to act now, or we dishonor those whose sacrifices we revere and honor today. Just a few generations ago, young people had hope and vision and a purpose. And most importantly, we had national leadership that shared our values. But assassins' bullets stole that from us, just as sure as the right to vote and the rule of law were stolen from us in November 2000. As my election was stolen in 2002. And now the California governorship is the victim of a stick-up, too. Armed robbery was never supposed to invade the ballot box, but it has. And so we have reached a point, as Berkeley's Mario Savo described in 1963. There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. We're at a seminal moment in our history of our country once again. I do believe we have one more chance to take a profound detour from the path that our leaders have chosen. One way to do that is for the Green Party, with all of its youth, vitality, charisma, and commitment, to hold our American ship of state directly on course with our values. And if other political parties stray from their professed values, the Green Party is there to protect the rights of all Americans, not only to vote, but to have their votes counted in an improved electoral system. The Green Party is there to respect America's diversity, not with special opportunity for some, but with equal opportunity for all. The Green Party is there to celebrate our Mother Earth and keep her safe from harm and greed. The Green Party is there to reject militarism, support America's workers with not only a minimum wage, but a living wage, restore our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, join the International Criminal Court, and respect the international laws of nations. In the end, that's really what it's all about. We can lament together the state of our beloved America, or we can put our bodies on the gears and wheels and levers, and we can stop this machine. We can stop the machine together, and let's do it now. Thank you.
That wraps up IMC Radio News for this week. Contributors included Ondine Gross. You can find out more about this show and other IMC activities by stopping by IMC Fest from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. this Saturday at the Canopy Club, 708 Goodwin in Urbana. There will be lots of great music, movies, workshops, and speakers, and I hope to see you there. I'll be the tall, bald guy with the 2 kids and lots of flyers. The coordination of the UC IMC Radio News is funded by the Funding Exchange's Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media. Archives of this program are available at the IMC website, www.ucimc.org. Take care and see you next week.